Okay, are you gonna play an intro?
Oh, yeah, it's the new intro.
No, it's not the new intro. I don't like it. What's up? I mean, it's fine for today. We're doing a rogue episode now.
Yeah, rogue episode. Mind Your Hives Beekeeping. Thank you for pressing play on this. We are just like doing a little bonus action. We're sitting outside right now.
You can hear the peepers.
Yeah, we talked about in the last episode, the peepers, they are booming.
Yeah.
And I thought like the typical funky jam, this one that you've all come to love. I thought that was like that sacred for the actual regular episodes, not this bonus. So I just thought a little remix. No?
No, I like it. It's just too short. I like how long the
episode
is. If
I keep doing it, you might like it more and more.
Please don't. Although I don't like hate it or anything. Yeah. So I think this is special because the impetus of this podcast came from. Nice. Isn't that. Beer going to, like, proceeds going to Ukraine?
Dude, you've lived with a beer salesperson for so long. Look at you. You just, like, nail it on cue. Yes, we are donating a portion of the proceeds to UNICEF. We as far as to Maine Brewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called One Seed. This beer is really... I don't drink a ton of IPAs, and I really dig it.
Oh, it's an IPA?
It. Yeah.
All right, so the impetus of this podcast was... Oh, that's a beautiful sound. Came from after beekeeping... Greg and I would, you know, we'd be beekeeping for hours and we would sit on the porch and we would crack a beer and we would debrief what just went on.
We'd take out like our notes.
Take our notes.
We'd recap what we just saw and what we just, you know.
And then sometimes it would be like, all right, this is good. And sometimes we'd be like, shit, okay, we got to problem solve. What are like our options? What are we going
to
do?
So most of the time we had to like problem solve. I mean, those were such fun conversations.
Or just like, what are your options and which one are you going to choose? Like, it doesn't even have to be that there was a problem, but like, you're going to split or you're going to do this. What are you going to do? So we did that for years and that was always just fun.
It was always like, hey, go grab a beer. Let's sit down.
Yeah. After you guzzle water first. And then one day Greg says to me, you know how we do that? Like, let's have a podcast. Like, let's do a podcast. And I was like...
Did I sound like that?
Yeah, you did.
Let's have a podcast.
And I was like, yeah, cool. Because I don't like podcasts.
No, you
really.
Weren't. You were like, nobody wants to listen to us.
Is that what I said?
No, we don't need to have a podcast. No.
Did I say no first?
And then you said, podcasts are dumb.
I don't like them. Really.
And I was like, dude, I think we can do something. Like, we were starting to teach people more. I was like, maybe we can do something here.
And then I was like, I'll let you follow your dreams and I'll support you in them. Was really what it was.
This is my dream.
I guess so. We're even real low over here.
Oh, my goodness. welcome to my dreams, ladies and gentlemen.
And then it's fun. And now I love doing it. So fun.
Yeah. Once she got a taste of hearing herself talk more, she liked
it. Once I became famous.
You're famous.
Absolutely.
All right. So we just went to the hives for the first time and, we inspected those four dead outs and that's like shitty and not fun. And you know, that's like the kind of the worst part about beekeeping is when your bees die.
Yeah, you know what though? This year was a little different for me because I was really going in with like, okay, let's learn something. It wasn't emotional really. It was like, Greg just totally muted me.
No, it muted me, I thought.
Well, I couldn't hear myself all the
time. Oh, I muted you. Okay. I'm trying to turn my chair. I didn't want to make a bunch of noise.
Well, there's already a bunch of noise, but, before, I would go in emotionally, like, oh, the bees died, I'm sad. Like,
oh, yeah, it literally brought us to tears years in a row.
And then now it's like, okay, they died, that sucks, but, like, why? So that we can prevent it and we can, like, learn from it and we can understand things better. So I went into it very, like, logically and matter-of-factly, like, going to learn something.
I was in a pretty not a good mood.
Because you're wearing a boot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm wearing a boot. I had this thing, like, in trash bags and it's just not fun. Whatever. But I was not in a good place. I was like, this sucks. We lost these four hives. It's just like being in them put me in a kind of shitty mood and a little bit of a funk, even though four out of like 20, that ain't bad. I'm not going to complain about that. That'd be ridiculous. The literal national average is like 50% loss. So we like very much skirted that.
Also, after what happened with Hurricane Ida and moving the hives and us missing out on September, I thought that we were going to be in a much worse position.
We felt like we were so far behind the eight ball. In October 13th is when we went back in the hives for the first time since September 1st, Ida. And it was tragic.
I really,
the mite counts were out of control. They did not look good. So anyway, so I was in like this funk.
So I was happy that we only lost four, was my point.
And I started looking back on the notes. So the four hives that we lost were all, I don't really know the best way of putting this. They were all unproven genetics.
Yes.
They were, so all of the genetics, all of the queens or the daughters of the queens or the great granddaughters of the queens or whatever it was that we've been tracking and we've purposely been breeding from and splitting from and blah, blah, blah. All of those survived. I was like, it's crazy, but I'm almost like happy that those four hives died just because I feel like it like scientific method or something. It like solidified that we're doing the right thing by tracking these queens and purposely going back in our notes and saying, we want to make sure we get more daughters off of this one. And it's working.
Yeah, it really is. And you talked about in episode 13 with the dead outs that, you know, you made the point that maybe not, we're outside and Kima barks at, Kima's protecting chickens. So, you made the point that not every hive is supposed to
survive.
And I was like, I'm still, the jury's out for me on this one. And then after today, when we look back at the notes, I was like, this is exactly what you're talking about.
Two of them were swarms that were caught, you know, different swarms. One of them was somebody, we bought a nuke at the very beginning of last year from somebody that, you know, I don't know exactly how he was treating, how he was doing, whatever. His methods, I guarantee, don't match up exactly with our methods.
Well, also, that one nuke, that was the only one that maybe they were queenless, like, July to August, and maybe they just couldn't ramp up enough population and bring in enough stores, because every time we went into that hive, it was, like, real light, and we fed them, and we gave them extra food, but I don't think that they ever had the population to bring in enough honey for the winter.
So we lost one nuke in three, you know, full 8 or 10 frame hives. The one nuke, I will say, we pushed that nuke to the limit and it didn't survive, but it was damn close because that was alive in like February.
And then you just walk away and you realize,
and that was the one that I was like,
too much.
I'm sad about that because I had high hopes for these.
And maybe
these
that
girls,
was our fault.
And it may have been our fault. But hey, again, I'm now switched to like the positive side of that is that we had 100% survival of
our genetic population that we're trying to grow.
Yeah. Of like layman bees or whatever, you know, like that's amazing. That's amazing. It's super amazing.
And another thing that we saw going back in
the I feel like
I
might be patting myself on the back by being this happy, but like,
no, I think
I'm
that's what you
it.
Have to do. another thing that we read in the notes and looking at that is that we had hives that were struggling and all year, some of them from the get with the swarm, we thought that they might have cool genetics. And we were like, yeah,
cool,
not really.
Genetics.
Yeah, but like maybe. And they just never really were doing well. And we kind of just, it was a little bit of an experiment to see like, is this going to happen? And I think
the rule is
if a hive is struggling, and you know what? We let them requeen themselves.
Well, one of the hives, we went back in the note. Dudes, take notes.
Yeah, it's so important.
It's actually really rewarding when you don't feel so helpless when you can go back and look at your notes and go, holy shit, on July 4th, I made a note that I thought I was seeing a Israeli acute paralysis virus. And then August 4th, Israeli acute paralysis virus present. Not sure what to do. And then we learned about it and realized, hindsight, we should have requeened immediately upon seeing that.
And you made a good point, because I was like, next time we have to re-queen, but you said something really good.
Oh, so yeah. I was thinking, say we see a cute Israeli, or whatever.
A
we
genetic see some problem. Genetic
disease problem. We could cage that queen. We could clip, immediately put her in a clip, keep her in the hive, wait a few days. Then her eggs that were laid the day before that we saw her, would be too mature that they can't turn those eggs into a queen now.
Although they have turned
And then also it buys us a little bit of time to find a queen to replace her, or find a swarm cell to replace her, or a queen cell, or just a frame of fresh eggs from one of our proven stock, one of the Mind Your Hive stock.
And then wipe out her genetics.
Exactly. So rather than even risk maybe they turn one of her eggs into a queen cell and then it just continues this issue, we cage her, buys us a little bit of time, they still get the queen pheromone, they're not going to make their own, they're not going to langwork or blah blah blah, if they read the books, and then we get to do something proper. So I started thinking a little bit more of oh man, okay, there's other options besides just right on the spot you kill her.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily need to do that, but putting her in a clip seems like a good move.
And again, that's all just about, okay, what are our options? These are our options. What makes the most sense?
So so what did we do with all the equipment? So we have, four, one 3-stack nuke and three other, full hive,
so
four
we had
or five
to
boxes.
Gently tap out, scrape out all of the frames.
A couple, two of them, two of them, there were a cluster of dead bees. We found the queen on one.
But even the bottom, at the bottom boards, there were dead bees. Yeah. So took them all, put them in the compost, and then took all of the boxes and brought them inside downstairs. And one of the first things that we bought when we had to move was what's that freezer? Deep freezer?
Yeah, a chest freezer.
Yeah, from what's it called? Big box store?
Yeah, Lowe's. Big box store.
Is that what it's called? Big box store?
Yeah.
Which wasn't really that expensive. I thought it was going to be
$130
or something. And then we froze the frames to get rid of any hive beetle larvae. Yeah.
So, we don't have enough space to freeze all of them. So it'll take three batches. I'll freeze them for 2 or 3 days each.
And then we can reuse.
I don't really think, there's not small hive bee, or there's not wax moth larvae right now. I don't think there's small hive beetle right now. But yeah, maybe there's other shit. There were some spiders and stuff. I don't know. Let's just make sure we're killing some eggs. We weren't worried about any American foul brood, European foul brood, any of the diseases that freezing would make no difference about. We weren't worried about that. We definitely checked for that at the end of the season, which do that. Make sure you're keeping an eye open for things like that. So we're not worried about contamination, so to speak. So just freezing them, I don't know, peace of mind.
Makes us feel good.
And I organize it all in the basement. We have, I counted 300 frames fully built out in boxes, ready to rock. Down there, another 600 in the apiary.
We have a lot of built-out frames.
Built-out frames are currency for beekeepers.
And we are going to...
I feel like I'm just bragging this episode. Sorry.
We're talking about dead-outs, so I don't know.
I know. I'm trying to lemonade this lemon.
But pesticides do build up in wax. There's been a lot of research behind it. So... we're going to, cycle out that. And also what's interesting is if you ever go to harvest your honey and you try to cut through the cappings and it's
Yeah, it just doesn't want to cut it.
What is that not cement, but it's gooey,
It rips more than it cuts.
Yeah, it's real dark. And what that is it's not wax anymore. It's cocoons.
Yeah, it's casing.
Yeah, so that the bees... so much
every
of it
life
just,
cycle they shed a casing, literally
the cocoon. It's
the cocoon. The larva spins a cocoon and blah blah blah. That little remnant gets left behind, and after time, it's literally all that is making up the cell.
Yeah,
and you really can tell when you're trying to decap and you're cutting through it. You're
So whenever we see that, just get rid of those.
And the easy way to do that is just wait for a super hot day and leave that shit on your driveway or outside on some pavement, heats up, then you just take a scraper, like a, you know, a putty, what do you call that? Like
putty knife.
Putty knife. Scrape, it scrapes right off. That, if you have plastic foundation, scrapes right off. It's like amazingly easy to scrape off.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do.
And then you throw it in the compost where we put all the dead bees we found today and a bunch of like other wax that we had cleaned up frames with. And
we talked last episode, like you could see a lot of robbing. And another sign of robbing is a bunch of like beeswax at the bottom of the hive. And it's all like chewed out and it drops to the bottom of the hive and then you can see that. So if you're not sure exactly about robbing, that's another good way to figure it out.
Yeah, you'll see the holes chewed pretty gnarly like, and then yeah, you'll see a bunch of the little shavings kind of beeswax on the bottom board.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just figured we would give a little bonus action of what we did today, like follow right up with our previous podcast. I thought it was a good idea. We're gonna put this on the Patreon. I was kidding.
Yeah, right. And again, Jennifer Lund. Right?
Yeah, Jennifer Lund is a great hive autopsy little write-up that I think everybody should look at. Just super easy. Jennifer Lund, Maine beekeeper.
Yeah.
Or state inspector, something like that. And yeah, thanks for tuning in. Oh, yeah. It's the bonus.
Round.
I wish I had that, like, air horn sound, that, like, Cypher sounds. Yeah. But no, thanks for tuning in. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're learning something. Keep asking us questions.
See you later.
Holler. Peace.